last increase was not justified. And he said he said it like a widow woman.
I see.
But we don't know why they put blasted announced. Now, you'd know better than I do. You and Bill have been writing these leads. Would y'all know why?
Well, I don't want anybody to hold Mr. Moyer responsible for my deficiency.
Well, he's a member of your same profession, though. And I want to, it's not your deficiency. I didn't see yours. I just saw the AP. But would you tell me what a blast means and a denounce? The implication of the words, as I understand them, are not in line with the McNamara's or Ackley's statements.
I see.
But I do think they make a good reading. And I have Fowler's statement. He says that the release of surplus aluminum is essential to balance of payments. Now, that doesn't sound like a blast. McNamara says that the government representatives reported to representatives of the industry that increased defense requirements as a result of our Operation Vietnam make necessary the release of metal from the aluminum stockpile because you operate in 100% capacity now. And we're going to have not what we're getting now, but an additional 200,000 tons. Then he offers them five alternatives. And we've been offering them up and down, back and forth, ever since the January. And they say, no, no, no. You got to keep carried in your inventory. Then Ackley comes along and says, the Council of Economic Advisors has reviewed the increases in the light of the guideposts, and it is concluded that these increases have no justification on the wage price guideposts and are inflationary. And that is the blast. That is the denouncement. Now, I'm not going to say economic royalists, and I'm not going to say the greedy instead of the needy. I've watched 35 years these characterizations, and in McNamara's outfit, one fella says, "Well, now, Mr. McNamara, you have announced that you are dumping so-and-so, and you are doing this." And he said, "Now, wait a minute, that's your color term. That's not mine. We're trying to market a commodity we have in great surplus in an attempt to get the product that we need that's in great scarcity. And we don't want this scarcity to be built up," and so forth. Now, I think that's an accurate definition. It could be any other commodity, but we're not trying to sell 1,400,000 tons. We've offered to do that over a period of 6, 8, or 10 years so that you don't have to continue to pay the government 4% interest on $10 billion to just keep something you don't need. And they have refused. We wanted to do it according to their directions on marketing. Now, we don't think that they're the ultimate in it. We think we've got some sense, too. For instance, we think that a man like McNamara and a man like Fowler and our experts in aluminum are not maybe not overly bright, but we think they know as much as some of these monopoly people do. And so we've said now we want to work it out with you, and you agree on it. But they've said we will not agree on anything. That's the net of it. So then we get to the point of where we have to finally act, and that's what we're going to do. Not denouncing, not blasting. We think it'll be helpful to them. We think that the great increased demand that we've got to have, we'll be able to meet it without a greatly increased price. We don't want to see, we don't want to see your $10 room at the Driscoll go to $100.
Mm-hmm. Has there been any response, Mr. President, from the aluminum people?
All I know is what they told us day before yesterday, that we will blast you over the head. And we heard the aluminum, I heard it on an evening broadcast, afternoon broadcast. Reynolds kicked it off quick and says that this is a great danger to the industry. And when I'm looking at the industry, it's making 100% capacity and profits up 80%, and whose situation this year is 52% over last year. I have to take that PR statement on the radio and weigh it against what I'm looking at, their whole card. And their profits are up 52% last year. They operate in 100% capacity. They got a 5% increased productivity, and they've given a 3.5% to the workers. So then an aluminum company came along last night and said this will be damaging to the industry. Well, I guess there are two ways to look at it. I guess if you had a lot of profiteering, when I came into this picture back in the early 30s when we were trying to build Grand Coulee in some of our units, Mr. Mellon owned the only aluminum company in the country. Now we've got three of them owning 80% of it. And you saw the Puerto Rico indictment where they all got together out there, kind of like the electrical manufacturers, and let Puerto Rico have it. And then we indicted them and they got off the 50,000. And now Puerto Rico, I saw in the Times, I guess day before yesterday, is suing them for a big amount. But the fact is that three of them are right to take it, not Olin Mallison and not to these little jerks. Alcoa and Reynolds, primarily the boys that, and Kaiser that do the job. And so they have 80% of it. They've had five increases. Their profits are up 52, Reynolds is. Others are 26 and so forth. And they say that the fact that the government sells any or uses its own aluminum. Let me ask you this. If you had 14 loaves of bread and they in your refrigerator, and your wife wanted to serve some toast, and she reached in to get one of them, and Ms. Baird's bread company came up and said, listen, you're going to ruin the bakery industry if you don't continue to store those 14. And you can't use, you got to buy it from us, what would you say? And that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
They're saying we can't use any of this, even for our increased defense orders. And McNamara said, if you would just let me use enough for the overall, over what I had last year, I'll continue to buy as much from you as I did last year, and as much from France, and as much from Canada, and as much from Japan.
And that's about what's happened.
We'll lose $100 million. But don't make me take my increase too. And they said, screw you, brother. We'll eat you over the head if we don't. And so he says, well, thank you. And he has to go over to the meeting. And this has not been any. Do you realize that Califano and his people have been working around the clock here for a week? And they jumped in with the price increase. We have no control over that.
No.
They've had five of them. And we have not blasted them because we can't. Blasting them doesn't stop price increases. We saw what happened to the steel thing and the problems, and we don't think your editorial is justified that the government is sleeping and doing nothing and it ought to do something. And we don't think Dale's statements justified yesterday that we had done nothing. I think his face ought to be awfully red, just his own pride that he didn't know what to live in hell. He ought to watch the lights in the building. On the other hand, I don't think that we ought to shout from the housetop and be sputtering mad. I don't think Bill has shown extremism one way or the other. I think he's told you exactly the facts and the truth as we see them. Now, this is not all. We have the best people in the government working on all these things all the time. We're, as I say, we produce 10 to 20% of the total production. And our canteens buy a hell of a lot of canned beer. Our post exchanges use a lot of canned tomatoes and camel soup and beans and chili. And we're a great consumer of this product. So why the hell would we want to contribute to the creation of a false scarcity in order to add to our budget and a bill? Now, we don't want to go the other way. We don't want to knock down profits and wreck businesses and create bankruptcies. So we're doing what we think the public interest. There's a statement that I put in McNamara's yesterday. We cannot protect the national interest and the consuming public with this kind of a policy. So therefore, we're asking that that whatever our increased demands, we ask them to use from our stockpile whatever the increased demands are in Vietnam, and they said, screw you.
I see.
So then we're going to transfer it and use it ourselves.
There's no hope apparently here that this is enough to get them off that price increase.
We you're not hoping. We let you all speculate on things like that, and I wouldn't, I don't know what effect that price increase has or what effect this has on it. And I don't think that Ackley does, and he's an expert. He told you that yesterday. I don't think that's really the point. I don't, he said in his response, have you got his press conference there?
I do, Mr. President.
You see his answer to, let me read it to you. We have the Defense Department announcing 200,000 tons will be dumped essentially on the market. If there's no reduction price, the next 12 months, another price hike would more than 200,000 tons be released in the coming 12 months period. Now, let me say, I don't agree with your color words that you've used in your own statement, reproving and dumping. We're not proposing to dump anything. We're not reproving anything. We're proposing to take 200,000 tons of surplus metal and make it available to a very tight market where capacity is 100% operation to avoid further increases in foreign imports, which have risen dramatically over the past year. We will seek, and I believe we'll be able to dispose of this tonnage in an orderly fashion to market. In no sense of the word am I using the word dumping. There's much dispute between you and Ackley. Wait a minute now, let me see what Ackley says. Fowler, McNamara, Ackley, here it is. If the prices were to be rescinded, would the release in the stockpile be carried out? Well, I don't see that the relationship is very close between the two matters. The release from the stockpile seems to be called for on the grounds that Secretary McNamara and Secretary Fowler have described. And the question of price was injected into this last week by the, not by the government, but by the industry's decision last week to raise the prices.
I see.
Now there is the authoritative, judicious professor answering it, Mr. Ackley. Well, on the question of profit, do you have any views that this they're up with major industries? Here's a guy that's been kind of spokesman for aluminum. I don't know who he is, but he's asking that question. Well, all industries don't have the same rate of equity or investment. The purpose of the guidepost is not to equalize those rates, but to set a reasonable standard. The rate of return on equity for the aluminum industry has been rising appreciably. It's been rising very sharply. It is now close to that of manufacturing generally. And as I said, rising and showing a promise of continuing rise for the prices. Would you expect that the release from the stockpile would make it difficult for the aluminum industry to make recent prices increase stick? Well, I don't know that I can really comment on that. Clearly, in the situation in which capacity is being operated at a very high rate, requirements are increasing. There is a terrific pressure on price. To the extent that that pressure is relieved, particularly relieved by release of idle materials rather than succeeding in imports from abroad, this reduces the inflationary pressure on aluminum and on the economy generally. Therefore, it is certainly something that is to be welcomed from the standpoint of price stabilization. Now, I think that if I predicted to you and answered your question, which I can't do, and I just don't have that super knowledge, and I don't think anybody does, Dale or Ackley, I think next week you'd say that McNamara predicted the war would be over and he really made a bonehead in Vietnam. Johnson predicted so-and-so, and I'm not paid to predict or to prophesy. I am paid to represent you and Bill and my kids. And I think we've done the prudent, careful thing, which we're going to continue to do in government management. We're trying to do it in urban affairs. Somebody liked me to jump yesterday and say it's either Weaver or it isn't. And then Weaver wouldn't know where to take up. I want to try to find out what we're going to take up in urban affairs.
Yes.
And then I'm going to try to get good management. I think you just played hell if you want to ask me, you and Eisenhower and Moyers and the rest of you, when you set up HEW. I don't want to do that. And I'm taking pride in the way my treasury is operating. And the way my health, education, and welfare is operating under Gardner. And I'm trying to have these things studied out. I'm having the health conference yesterday and day before, and the day before with 800 experts. And I'm going to take what they got, and there'll be a lot of crackpot stuff that'll have to go by the side. But there'll be some good things come up. Nonstop, Paul, I'm not a neophyte in this. I don't want to be bragging. But I don't think you ever knew that I had any connection with Stockpile, did you?
No, sir, not.
All right, that's been my specialty in the 20 years I've been in Congress. That's what I've been, I've got a phobia on that, almost like Morris has labor disputes. The first job I had with the old Naval Affairs Committee was handling the synthetic rubber plants during World War II. And the disposition of them. An industry came in, and they're a very close-knit corporation. All of them were for one thing except Harvey Firestone. He says the government to protect the consumer and to protect the interest of the government, which buys rubber for everything, all their tanks, their tires, their cars, their trucks, everything else, ought to not just give this monopoly these plants that you've built.